We're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Rafael Menachem Mendel Ben Reisel Edel. Hashem should send him a speedy recovery. He's the father of small children who needs a refuah shleima, and Hashem should send it to him swiftly. We're up to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. דמות צורות לבנה היו לו לרבן גמליאל בטבלה ובכותל בעלייתו. רבן גמליאל had the figures of the moon on a board, on a tavla, on some kind of board, and in the wall, up in his attic, שבהן מראית הדיוטות, that he would be able to show the people who were novices at testifying about the new moon, so he could ask them, did you see this? Did you see that? Ve'omer, ha-kaze ra'ita o-kaze, he'd point and say, did you see one like this? Did you see one like that? So the Gemara now goes off on a tangent, a very important and interesting tangent. Umi shari, who are you allowed to make figures of the moon? Ve'aktiv lo ta'asu niti, lo ta'asu kidmut shimshai. God says, don't make any figures with me, and we understand that to mean you're not allowed to make figurines of the sun and the moon. And how did Rabbi Gamliel do this? Amar Rabbi lo asa Torah el shimshin she'efshar lasot kemotan kedetanya lo yase adam bet tavnit echal achsadra tavnit ulam chatzer keneged azara shulchan keneged shulchan menorah keneged menorah aval oseh של חמישה ושל שישה ושל שמונה ושל שבעה לא יעשה. אפילו ששאר מיני מתנחות. אביי says, it's a different prohibition. What the Torah said, לא תעשו ניתי, the Torah meant שמשין שאפשר לעשות כמותן. Things that are used in the service of Hashem that you could replicate. It doesn't mean a sun, you can't replicate the sun. What it means is, don't make your house like the heichal. Don't make a porch like the ulam. Don't make your yard like the azara. Don't make a table like the shulchan. Don't make a menorah like the menorah. You want to make yourself how would you say menorah in English?
Candelabra.
A candelabra. So make one with 5 branches, with 6 branches, with 8 branches, but don't make one with 7 branches.
We have the Gezera of not to duplicate the things from the Hamikdash, or it
seems to be biblical, not a Gezera. And it doesn't matter what type of metal you use, it is prohibited. That's the first opinion in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer, Av shelitz lo yaseh, shouldn't make one of wood either. Because if you'd make one of wood, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds, that would be kosher. The Braisa says in Menachos, it says Vasita Menorat. And we darshin that because the Pasuk begins by saying Vasita Menorat, that's to include all kinds of menorah. Zahav Taho, that's a prat. Then it says again Mikshav, one solid material. So you have Klal Uprat. Just like the prat has to be of metal, so too the klal has to be of metal. So Tanakama holds, any metal could be used for making the menorah in the temple. So therefore any metal is prohibited outside the temple, but wood is okay. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says no, don't make of wood, because Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda learns ribui miut. And he learns that ribui miut means only to the exclusion of an earthenware menorah. But other materials are kosher. So Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, if other materials are kosher in the temple, then they are disqualified from using in your own home if you're going to make a candelabra of 7 branches. Kederech she'asu malchei betcha shmonai. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, when the house of the Hasmoneans established their throne, so then they were poor, they couldn't make a gold candelabra in the temple, they made one of wood. Amulo, the rabbis answered him, you know, if he were right that that's what they did, that would be a very strong proof to his opinion that a wooden candelabra is also kosher in the temple. Misham Raya, well, you bring us a proof from the Hasmoneans. Shpudin shel Bazel ayu, there were metal posts V'chipum bevatz, but they lined them with batz, which Rashi gives us a French word. I don't know exactly what that is. Heshihu, when they became more wealthy, asaum shel kesef, then they became ladra of silver. Chazru heshihu asaum shel zahav, they became more wealthy, they made them of gold. So the Gemara brings, if this is the derivation, so then you can make a figurine of the sun and the moon. The first understanding was, lo tasuniti, don't make the stars, the suns and the moon, because I'm the only God. You can't make any figurines. Then the Gemara said, no. When it says lo tasuniti, it means don't make figurines of the stuff that are with me, meaning what's in my temple. You shouldn't duplicate. So then the Gemara now questions, okay, if the Pasuk only meant don't duplicate that which is in the temple, v'shamashin she'yif shal la'asot k'motan mishari? What about we say that the sun and the moon and the stars are, so to speak, Hashem's servants, just like you use all these vessels in the service of Hashem, the army of the heavens is also the servants of Hashem. But we do have a derivation in the Braisa. We do have this derivation that Hashem says, don't make like the stars that are serving before me in the heavens. So that seems to be a prohibition. We'll get back to that in 1 second. Just concerned that fan over here might be affecting the mic.
So what about the temple sometimes? They have a nice game along.
It's a good question. So the Gemara says Amar Abaye lo asra Torah ladmut arba'a panim ba'adei adadei. Abaye offers an answer. We know that the angels up above are described that they have four faces. So, if you make all four faces together, that's prohibited. So the Gemara says, wait a second, according to that, in Mata Partsuf Adam Lechudei Tishtari, you want to tell me that if you'll only make the face of a man, that's permissible? Even though we say the four faces, one is the face of a man, one is the face of an ox, one is the face of a lion. So, according to that, so if you make the face of a man, that's okay, because you didn't make all four together. Alama Tanya, then why do we have a braisa that says, Kol ha-partzufot mutarin chutz mi-partzuf adam? You can make the shape of any face but a human face. So that seems to be prohibited.
That's a man, right?
Yeah. Amar Rav Huna Breid Ravide Mipirkei d'Abaye Shmi'ali. He says, I heard it from Abaye's shir. He taught like this, Lo tasun iti, lo tasun oti. That's the derivation. V'shar shamashin mishari, v'atanya lo tasun iti, lo tasun kidmut shimshai hamshamshin lefanai b'marom. We do derive that you can't make figurines. Kigon, Ofanim, Vesrafim, Vechayot HaKodesh, Umalachai HaSharet, all the different types of angels.
How do we know that how the Ofanim and Vechayot HaKodesh
in Yechezkel, there's a description of what they look like. Amar Abaye lo asra Torah al haShamashin shebemador Elyon. Okay, Abaye says, only those that are up there in the seventh heaven, Iti means those that are up there with me. So who's up there with God? Only these holy angels are up there in the seventh heaven. But the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations of the zodiac, they're in the second heaven. So, that's okay. 1 second, let's just hear the Gemara out. V'shebamador tachton mishari, and is it really permissible to make figurines that are in the lower heavens? V'atanya asher bashamayim, don't make figurines of what's in the heaven. So the Braisa learns out, l'rabot chama ulvana kochavim umazalot. The Pasuk says, don't make figurines of that which is in the heaven that encompasses the sun, the moon, the stars, and the constellations of the zodiac. The verse says, don't make of that which is mima'al, above, lirabot, that's coming to include, malachei asharet, the angels that serve up there. So you see, they are all prohibited. Answers the Gemara, kitanya hi le'ovdam. Well, that's a prohibition to make these figurines in order to worship them. But if you just want to make them like Rabbi Gamliel, that's okay. The Gemara says, wait a second, Ilo of Dama Filu Shishul Katan Nami. If you're going to worship it, then you can't make a figurine of a worm to be worshipped. Enachinami. The Gemara says, you're right. Titania Asher Ba'aretz Lerabot Adagim Mikvot Yamim Munarot Afikim Migayot Mitachat Lerabot Shishul Katan. You're right. That's all prohibited, and really the verse later on encompasses everything. The rivers, the streams, the valleys, the mountains, the hilltops, and even the smallest worm, if you're going to worship it, that's prohibited. Wait a second. So you want to tell me that the Pasuk only prohibited making these things when you worship them, but if you're going to make a figure of the sun or the moon or the stars, that's okay? The Braisa learns you're prohibited from making them. And the Braisa seems to be a standalone, even if you're not going to worship them. So how can Rabbi Gamliel have these figures of the sun, of the moon? You see, you're not allowed to make figures of the sun or the moon or the stars. Says the Gemara, Shani Rabbi Gamliel, Dacherim Asulo. Okay, you got me against the wall. I'll tell you what, he hired non-Jews to make him those figurines, okay? So then he's prohibited from making them, but they made them. He went out to Mexico and bought himself a figurine of the different shapes of the moon. The Gemara says, wait a second, you didn't solve anything. V'Rav Yehuda Dacherim Asulo. Rav Yehuda was a disciple of Rav and Shmuel, and he had an engraving on his ring, and that engraving was made by non-Jews. And his Rebbe, the Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to his disciple Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Sameyene Didain, why don't you blind out that one? Meaning blotch out the shape, the figurine on the ring. So the Gemara answers, Hatam Chotmo Boletava. There was a different reason. Technically, there it was permissible, but the figurine on his ring used to protrude. It wasn't engraved into the ring, it protruded. And because it protruded, so that the pagans of the time used to wear rings that had a protruding figure that they'd worship. And Shmuel was concerned people would suspect that his disciple, Rav Yehuda, was a pagan. That was the problem. It wasn't a problem with the figurine, because that was really made by non-Jews. Kiditanya, the Braisa says, Tabat chotmo bolet asul anicha. If you have a ring where the engraving protrudes, that's prohibited from wearing. Umutar lachtomba, but you could use it to seal letters, because when you push it into the wax, so then the shape isn't protruding, the shape is indented. Yes. Chotmo shokea, but if the ring has the shape indented, carved into the ring, so then mutal anicha, you could wear that type of ring, but you can't use it to sign letters, because then the wax is going to be protruding, and that's problematic. The Gemara says, Umichashina nechashta, are we really worried that people are going to suspect he's worshipping it? There was that shul that was in Nahar Da, in the place called Shafiyati bin Nahar Da. Others say it means it was destroyed and rebuilt in Nahar Da. Dehave beyandauta, that had this different, that had a figurine in the shape of the king. Rav, Shmuel's father, Levi, they all went and davened there. They weren't worried people would say, ah, they're worshipping that figurine of the king. Answers the Gemara, Rabim Shani. There you have the masses. If you have the masses, we're not worried. Everyone knows you're not worshipping the figurine of the king. But how does that help you with Rabbi Gamliel? So, the Gemara is assuming here that even though we said earlier that you only have to worry about chashad when it's protruding, but Rabbi Gamliel still, why aren't we concerned over chashad? So the Gemara could have answered that it wasn't protruding. For whatever reason, the Gemara didn't want to answer that. The Gemara says, "Kevan de nasihu shlichi Rabbi Gabei." That's also called the masses. He's a public figure. There are always people there. Everyone knows he's not worshipping the figurines. Being that we explained that biblically there's no problem. So, the problem is only in making it. Gentiles made it for him. And because there were masses who were always there, everyone knew that no one was worshipping it. Another alternative is that it was something that could be taken apart and reconstructed. So he would take it apart, and only when he needed it for the witnesses would he construct it. So that was okay, because then there was no room to suspect anything, because it wasn't there all the time. And another understanding is he did it just to learn. You're not allowed to learn it in order to do idol worship, but you could learn it in order to understand and to teach what's prohibited. So that's this falls under that category. So now there's a lot over here, because this is the question: are we allowed to take pictures, photographs? Are we allowed to have idols? Are we allowed to have figurines on the parochas of the Aron HaKodesh? All of that is this sugya that we just learned. So there's Tosfos here, and there's a Rosh here, and there's a lot. And you guys want? I would look into it now. Yeah. Let's see. You want? Yeah, well.
So Enosh decided to serve God through the... He knew that God was God. Through... He had the stars and moons and constellations, as Rambam says, to get closer to Hashem and a little intermediary. The problem was the generation after Enosh, and even Rambam says Enosh was... He made a mistake. So maybe the pasuk when it says iti means that you should not use those things to worship them, and through them you will worship me.
Maybe. Okay.
Is there only a problem to ask for a boy to build something that for them will be able to do?
Tosfot asks you a question. Let's do the second Tosfot. Chutz miparzuf adam tema. My kusha din mahacha b'motze. Maybe over here he didn't make it. He found it. Uchid rava demuki lak Rabbi Yehuda b'per kol atzlamim. Aval asiyah sharia. Maybe when it says you're prohibited from having a human face, it means you're not allowed to have it if you found it. But to make it, you could. V'yesh lomar d'suka d'hachak ha'baye v'let l'derava u'mukila b'ose. U'lfi zeh mutal la'asot tzurat adam. The Tosa says, it turns out from here that you would be allowed to make the figure of a man. D'kamenan k'rava l'gabei d'abaye, because it seems Rava in the Talmud in Avodah Zarah disagrees with Abaye's interpretation over here, according to this in Tosa. U'mi u'en raya, d'belo shum kusha yichol Rava lidrosh, lo tasun oti, v'chen tanya l'kaman, the Tosfos says, bottom line, it's not convincing. You could disprove that argument, and so he doesn't have a bottom line. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to make figurine of a man? And that's why traditionally, whenever we'd make figurine of a man, we change something in it. Make him have horns. Make him have a funny nose. Make something that's not human. And that's why you have in the, I don't remember if it's Spain or Portugal, one of them has a in the entrance to the king's castle, there is something that was made by a famous human sculptor, and it's not accurate. There's something off in it. I think there are four animals there. I think that he made, there are famous four animals that he made, and each one has something that's off about it. And that's because he, even though he was making it for the king, he said, I have to be in keeping with this. Yeah. It was a Jewish sculptor who was hired, I don't remember if it was the king of Portugal or Spain, to sculpt animals in his castle. And he kept everything. He said, I could do it, except I have to keep something different. Okay. Shani Rabban Gamliel de Achirim Asulo says Tosus Vap Agav de Bechol Mirili Amiral Nochri Shvut. Even though technically you can't ask a non-Jew even though it's only rabbinic, but it's prohibited to ask a non-Jew to do prohibited things for you. Even on rabbinic prohibitions, you couldn't. יש בעיה אי כשבות בלאו או לא, גבי חוסם פרה ודשבה, החלוג הזו. So being that it's a rabbinic prohibition, here they didn't prohibit it, משום מצווה, because it's necessary for a mitzvah. Rabbi Gamliel needed it to show the witnesses. וצריך להיזהר כשמבין למחויים, you have to be careful when you give loans to the non-Jews, ומחתמין החוב בחותם של שעבה, and they seal it in a wax seal, שתלוי באיגרת that's on the letter, that's on the contract, ולא סומכין על הדרבה. We don't rely on the opinion of Rava and Gemara Avodah Zarah like Tosus explained earlier, because it's not clear that Rava really argues on our Gemara here. So, ואם אנוכי מביא לו חותם עצמו מותר, but if the non-Jew already signed it on his own, so then we rely on what the Gemara said here, that if he did it, okay, that's permitted. But you notice that Tosus didn't answer the question. Tosus said, I don't understand. Rabbinically it should be prohibited. Tosa seems to say it is. The only reason here it would be permissible, Tosa's answers, is because of Rav Gamliel. But for any other reason, you wouldn't be able to do it. So you can't go out to Mexico and buy all those different figurines and stuff.
So we're saying, we will not be afraid that they will worship because of the masses? But since when the masses will prevent our chashad that even in Sage of Israel will become a worshiper?
I don't know. Baal Alochos Gedolos, Tosfos quotes in the next Tosfos that the story of Rabbi Yehuda was in the shape of a dragon. And that's why it was a problem. Because the dragon was something they worshipped. So that's why there was an issue of Chashad with Rabbi Yehuda's ring. And Tosfos asks what we asked earlier. Why if we answered already that Rabbi Gamliel's did not protrude, it was engraved. So then why do we come back and ask, how did Rabbi Gamliel do it? He was an individual. So Tosa says, V'yesh lomar, the second wide line, demikol mikom shiach b'chashna, degabei levanha, en chiluk, evan deina boletet barakia. Tosa says, that answer, to say that only something protruding is a question of chashad, is only about things that normally do protrude. The moon doesn't protrude. So who's to say if when you engraved it, it looks more like something worshipped or protruding? That's Tosus' answer. You guys want to see the rush on this?
The images that head or?
Yeah, the images that he had. Even though they were engraved, he says, who says that's enough? Because maybe that only works for things that are worshipped protruding. The moon is as is. Okay, so the first thing we should do, if you want to see interesting things on this, and the problem is here, because you're dealing with questions of non-Jews, so the censors didn't always let everything be printed. You should look at the Piskei Tosus. Look at the Rosh's bottom line. It's right after the Gemara, before the Rosh. Before the Kitzur Piskei Rosh. Before the Rosh, you have the Piskei Tosus. So, you have it before, right after the Gemara, right after the Hadron in the Gemara. Turn to Daf Lamed Hey, and then Lamed Hey Amid Bey says Pisketos. The next page. That's Pisketos. Letter Mem Gimel, Tosus says, En Latir Lasutuat Adam. Shouldn't permit to make the shape of a man. Mem Dalad. Emran Nochi Lo Gazu. Legabei mitzvah, the Piskei Tosfos seems to take it as a general permission. We understood that. Okay, I wouldn't have realized Tosfos was saying that, but that's what Piskei Tosfos says. That even though the rabbis prohibited me from telling a non-Jew to do things that are prohibited for me, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, it's permitted. צריך לזכור שמלווים לנוכרים ומחתימים בשעבה, ואם הנוכרים מביאים עצמו מותר. You have to be careful when you're giving them a loan and they're going to put their seal on the wax. It shouldn't be a figurine that's protruding. But if they brought it signed, that's we're not our issue. Next one, צורת חמה ודרכון על האזורים מותרים, אפילו בולטין, ושאר שם המותרים אפילו בצורת אדם. I don't know what he says, ain't no betosis. So we don't know where the Piskei Tosfos got this from. that if you make the shapes of a dragon or the sun on your belt, that's permissible even if they're protruding. And other shapes, maybe they're mutter, even the shape of a man, but where do you get that from? I don't know. Okay, so that's a piskei atosis.
What does it mean that we cannot ask goyim to do things that's foreign to us, but if it's for a mitzvah, it's possible? So if it's for a mitzvah, why can't we ourselves do it?
The Torah prohibited. The Torah didn't say you could do it for the sake of a mitzvah.
So how can we get to do a mitzvah through a goy and ask
sometimes
him to do it to us?
Because the whole prohibition of asking a non-Jew is rabbinic. The rabbis didn't prohibit it where it would be for the sake of a mitzvah.
So there will be no problem on doing a mitzvah through a forbidden way.
Sometimes, right. There can be instances.
Right. Is that the non-Jew is making an idol?
Not because it's prohibited for him. Because he's not really making an idol. He's making a figurine for you.
Okay. But we are not allowed to make
But sure. I'm not allowed to ask him to do something that I'm not allowed to do.
Really?
Yeah. That's what Tosus just said. Not everyone agrees with that Tosus. Tosus extends it to every prohibition.
Shabbat included?
You can't ask him to eat pork?
I don't know, because there it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Meaning, you have to put on tefillin. You're not allowed to eat pork. He's allowed to eat pork. But you can't ask him to graft a tree, to make kelayim, to crossbreed animals. But there you have a special limud. That's the big question on Tosus here. The Gemara brings a special limud why that's prohibited. Tosus says all prohibitions. Whatever I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to ask him to do rabbinically. It's a big chiddush. It's also a chiddush that Tosus calls it a shvus. That contradicts our explanation of shvus. Remember we discussed that shvus is a special term for the rabbinic prohibitions of Shabbos. So that definitely doesn't seem to be right, what I said, according to the way Tosus used it here. Okay. Tov, I don't have anything here in the Rush or the Mordechai. So that's it. So we saw what we could see. And in the Rif, I think there also wasn't anything.
Now we have to see
where do we get these letters? Like,
I don't know.
No, but the memo, how can we see here? It's in Daf,
isn't it? No. You didn't include the Mishnah Berurah.
It's a good question, but not now. Mishnah. Ma'aseh shebao shnayim amu einu shachit b'mizrach. Ba'arvit b'ma'arav. Two witnesses came into court and said an interesting thing. They said, in the morning, just before the crack of dawn, we saw the moon, and then the sun rose, and then the sun set, and then we saw the new moon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri de shekerim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, they're liars, because we said earlier that there's a 24-hour period where the moon is not visible. Meaning that at the time when you have the new moon, there has to be 24 hours where it's not visible. That's how Rashi's Rabbeim taught this Mishnah. Rashi brings another pshat, V'nira li, the second thin line, Da'ala chadasha yidu. They were testifying about the new moon. V'ide shekert kamar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lefi she'inam me'ed larutz v'yud bet shurut shebeyom מתוך המזרח לתוך המערב. ועל זה כמה פעמים שבב דרך ארוכה ושוהה לבוא. We'll see in a minute. We'll see this in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said they're liars. כשבאו ליבנה, קיבלן רבן גמליאל. רבן גמליאל accepted them. So what if they said they saw it in the morning? That's an impossibility. But they said they saw it at night. Okay. We'll see when we get to the Gemara. How did he accept them? The Beis Din at that time was in Yavne, yeah. Ve'od ba'o shnayim v'amru v'aynu bizmano. This is the young Rabban Gamliel. This is Rabban Gamliel after the destruction of the temple, who was so young that they couldn't appoint him Nasi right away after the destruction. They had to wait, and there was an interim Nasi, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Generation before Reggie?
I think two. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Arkina say again. Ve'od, another story. Ba'u Shnaim, two witnesses came. Ve'amru Reinu Bizmano. We saw it on the night which came after the 29th. Meaning, the question is the next morning going to be the 30th or is it going to be the 1st? So they saw it. Fine. And then the next night, when they should have seen it, no one saw it. Now, if you saw it last night, we for sure should see it tonight. And nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel says, no problem. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkina says they're liars. How could it be they're testifying? A woman gave birth. You see her tomorrow, her stomach is still coming up between her teeth. Why is your stomach so big if she gave birth yesterday? Can't be. So Rabbi Yoshua, who's the elder of the time, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, he lived from before the destruction of the temple till after the destruction of the temple. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya tells Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas, what you said makes sense. So there's the young Nasi, who's in charge of the calendar, who says, new moon. Rabbi Yoshua says, nope, I think Rosh Hashanah is the next day. It happens to be this was all revolving around Rosh Hashanah this time of year. So now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, the month should have been a month of 30 days that year. According to Rabbi Gamliel, that year Elul had 29 days. So everyone celebrated Rosh Hashanah one day. Rabbi Yoshua celebrated 2 days. Now, what's going to happen on Yom Kippur? Rabbi Gamliel is going to lead the Jewish people to keep Yom Kippur 10 days from his Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Yoshua is getting ready to fast 2 days because he holds it the next day. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel sent him a messenger. Guzrani alecha, I declare upon you shetavotzli, that you come to me bimakelcha, with your stick, uvimautecha, and with your money. V'yom ha-kippurim shecha liot v'cheshboncha, on Yom Kippur, that's according to your calculation, and everyone will see you walking through the streets with your stick and your money, and everyone will know that the calendar is the way I said. Halach umtzo Rabbi Akiva meitzer. Rabbi Akiva, his disciple, went to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshua, and he found him, and he's upset. The Nasi told him to desecrate Yom Kippur. What's he to do now? Boy, that's a tough question. God says keep Yom Kippur, and the Nasi says desecrate Yom Kippur. What's he supposed to do? That's an easy one. Don't listen to the Nasi. Okay, but you understand what the dangers in that are. The very generation after the destruction of the temple, the young Nasi, it's not just a question of the calendar now, it's a question of all of Israel. What's he supposed to do? And the Nasi's telling him, you're coming to me. And there's no way out. He can't call in sick. And you see, everyone knew about it. Amar lo, his disciple, Rabbi Akiva, who was so big that he was already up to par. He was a Talmud Chaver with his Rabbi. So he said to him, "Yesh li lilmod shekol ma she'asah Rabban Gamliel asui." I could derive that whatever Rabban Gamliel did is legitimate. Shneimal, as the verse says, "Eile moadei Hashem mikrei kodesh asher tikru'u otam." These are the holy days that you will declare. You will call them out. What does that mean? You decide. You, the courts, are the ones that decide when the holidays will be. Ben bizmanan, ben shelo bizmanan, in limoadot elayilu. Doesn't matter if you got it on time or not. These are the set times. God says no other day to celebrate Yom Kippur. You could celebrate it in the middle of the spring. I don't care. It has nothing to do with the Torah. From the Torah's perspective, what the courts do, that's it. Doesn't seem like his Rebbe was too convinced. Balo etzel Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas. So Rabbi Yoshua went to the source of the problem. Rabbi Dosa ben Arkinas was the first to say, hey, they're liars. Amar lo, Rabbi Dosa said to Rabban Gamliel, Im ba'in anu ladun achar betino shel Rabban Gamliel, if we're going to start questioning Rabbi Gamliel's court, Tzichinanu ladun achal kol betin uvedin shamad mimot Moshe ma'ad achshav. Then we have to question all the other courts, you know. It's been quite a time now since Moshe, and some courts were smarter and some courts were less. We've had this whole period of the Second Temple where the courts have been through a lot of havoc. You want us to start questioning everything that's been done from Moshe till now? Shneimal, because the pasuk tells us a rule when it came to Moshe. It says, "Vayal Moshe Aaron Adam v'Avihu v'shivim mizikne Israel." Who went up the mountain? Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, and the elders, 70 elders. So you delineated, you enumerated by name, four of the people, and then the other 70 are anonymous. Now they're important Jews; they're the leaders. Why doesn't the names of the elders get delineated? Or Rashi has the word nitpalsimu. Why weren't they publicized? It's teaching us that once there's a court, we treat it like it's the court of Moshe. And if you want to start asking, is this court like theirs? We tell him, okay, so it's not like Moshe, but maybe it's like the elders. You don't know who the elders were. Right, that's what the Torah wanted to say. You don't know who they were, those elders. And maybe the court in your day is like that, like some of those elders. Seems to say that not all of the 70 were top quality. Or at least they weren't worse than the court in your day. Natal maklomo tav biyado. He took his staff and money in his hand. He went to Rabbi Gamliel to Yavne on the day that was Yom Kippur, according to his calculation. So Rabbi Gamliel stood up, the elder walked in, and Shakal Rosho kissed him on his head. Come in peace, my Rabbi and my student. Rabbi, I admit you're smarter than I am. But I call you my student, because you were willing to accept what I said. So that's the gather of a Talmud. Gather of a Talmud is he's willing to accept. Interesting. Even if he's smarter, right. So that fits with the Rambam on the Mishnah Aseh L'Charav. Rambam says, even though he's not so much smarter than you are, but have a Rebbe, have someone who you call your Rebbe. Okay. Tanya, yeah. This story? Well, you heard it differently then. Every time I say it, it's different. Because every time there's a different stress. Tanya. Amar lehem Rabban Gamliel lechachamim. Rabbi Gamliel said to the elders, Kach mekublani mibet avi abba. Yehuda, where does it say avi abba? Avi abba. I'll give you a hint, it's in this tractate. That's why I'm asking you. From the bottom. So there's a story in the Gemara in Brachos that when Chizkiyahu was ill, so Chizkiyahu was an old bachelor, never got married, and he didn't want to get married because he saw in a vision that his children would be sinful. He was right. His son Menashe murdered so rampantly. He was such a pagan who worshipped every idol in the book, and he brought about the destruction of the first temple, his son Menashe. So along comes his uncle, Yeshaya the prophet, and says, you're dead, man. No this world, no next world. That's it. You're buried. God's decided. You call everyone in. It's over. You're finished, and God isn't going to see you. You're goner in the next world too. So Chizkiah is lying in bed sick, and he says, well, what's going on? What happened? I've been such a pious man my whole life. What? You tell me I'm dead, okay. You tell me no world to come. Why? So Yeshaya says that you didn't get married, you didn't, no kids, no nothing, no future. So he says, yeah, but I had a good reason. I thought I saw that my kids would be destructive. I had a prophetic vision. Yeshaya tells him, the prophet tells him, none of your business. That's God's worry. You have to do your mitzvah, bring kids to the world. So Chizkiah says, really? That's what I'm supposed to do? I don't have to worry about what'll happen? Fine. So let me marry your daughter, Yeshaya. You have a good daughter. She's your daughter. Maybe your merits, my merits. We'll have good kids. Yeshaya says, I'm going to marry off my daughter to you. I just told you you're dead. No. No way. Why am I going to marry my daughter to you? So Chizkiah says to him, Ben Amots, finish what you got to say and get out. The tradition I have, Mi Beit Avi Abba, the tradition I have from my father's house, is that even when there's a sword on a person's throat, he should pray, because David was tossed into the air, and Goliath's brother put a sword in the ground, and David was headed down for the sword, and he was a dead man, it was over. You know, the laws of nature said, he's finished. And David prayed, and he was saved. So David said, he left the tradition, even when it seems like everything's finished, it's all over, you still pray. So that's my tradition. And there are commentaries who say, anytime you find in the Gemara, Kach mekublani mi beit avi abba, it's referring back to David HaMelech. Which fits, because Rabbi Gamliel here was also a descendant of David HaMelech. So he says, this is the tradition I have, going back to David and his court. Pamim sheba ba'aruka, upamim sheba b'ktzara. That's what Rashi quoted earlier in the Mishnah, that the moon doesn't have a set amount of time that it's covered. Sometimes it takes it a long time, sometimes it takes it a short time. So the fact that in the beginning of the first case of the Mishnah, the fact that in the morning they saw it on the east, and at night they saw it on the west, well, that can happen. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and if you want, in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, in the end, I think, of the sixth chapter, either fifth or sixth chapter, you have a greater delineation of how long the moon can be covered. And one opinion over there, I think Trebiosi over there says that there's only one split second when the moon is really covered. It's, okay, you got to see there in Pirkei Eliezer. Amar Rav Yochanan, Maitaima de Berebi. What's the source for the house of Rebbe's opinion? Dichtiv. The verse says, "Asayirach lemoadim shem shiyadam mevo, shemesh udiyadam mevo, yarach lo yadam mevo." The sun, you could forecast. You could forecast when the sun's rising, but the moon, you can never forecast exactly when it's going to be visible. Yarach lo yadam mevo. You can't know exactly when the moon is going to be visible again, because sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it takes shorter. Rabbi Chia Chazye L'Siara D'Avekai B'Tzafra D'29. Rabbi Chia, he was a contemporary of Rabbi's, he was his disciple. He saw the moon, the old moon, in the morning of the 29th. So he was sure that if you see the moon in the morning of the 29th, you ain't going to see it tonight. Shakal Kala, he took a clod of earth, Patakbe, threw it at the moon. He says, tonight, we're going to have to sanctify the new moon. It's Rosh Chodesh tonight. Get out of here. Go hide. Tonight, we're going to make it Rosh Hashanah. Ordinarily, Rosh Hashanah was always on the 30th day. They didn't have 30 days in Elul. So he says, you know, tonight, if you're still around, we're going to have to force witnesses to testify that they saw a new moon. Get out of here. If everyone's going to see you, it's going to be too obvious. Sometimes you had a situation where if you had 30 days in the month, then Yom Kippur would be adjacent to Shabbos. And we saw the Gemara in the first chapter that when Yom Kippur was adjacent to Shabbos, so then it was problematic for people. Either they wouldn't have good food, because the food would rot, they didn't have refrigeration, they couldn't pick food for Shabbos. Or if someone would pass away, just as Yom Kippur settles in, the guy has a heart attack, the bodies would start rotting, so that was a big pain for people. It was painful to see their relatives rotting. So whenever possible, the rabbis would try to manipulate the calendar, even like here, where the moon would not be seen that night. Rabbi Chiya said, don't make it too obvious, you know, we're going to have to force witnesses in order to declare the new moon tonight. Amar le-Rebbe le-Rebbe Chiya, zil le-ein tav ve-kadshe le-yalcha. Rabbi said to Rabbi Chiya, okay, if over here the moon was visible, go to the place called Ein Tav and declare the new moon, and then the message, the sign of the new moon is David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Why? Because David is like the moon. God says that King David's throne is like the moon that's ever existence. Even though the moon sometimes seems like it's gone, it's always there. That's the house of David. Even when it seems like it's gone, it's always there. So pick up here, Bezachim, next week.